Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. John 10:10.
Thanks so much. Good morning. Welcome. My name is John McLarty, and I have the privilege of serving here at Stonebridge as one of the pastors. And as we get started this morning, would like to just say again what an honor it is to be in ministry with you and to have the opportunity to live out our faith together here in this community. I didn't know if you know this, but today is Stonebridge's 19th anniversary. For 19 years now, we have been worshiping as a faith community. Just a joy to be able to celebrate that experience with you today. You know, we've been talking over the last couple of weeks about what it means to truly follow Jesus. We are called not to be his fans, but to be his followers. We've been looking at a book by a pastor named Kyle Eidelman, called Not a Fan, that's really been challenging for us. I've joked that this book has stepped on my toes, but it hasn't broken my ankles. So I'm appreciative of Kyle and his challenge to us to get off the sidelines of our faith and truly commit ourselves to following Jesus. And so we've been recognizing the difference between just being a fan of Jesus and truly following him where he leads. Jesus never asked us to sit on the sideline and cheer for his cause. He did call us to participate. He called us to contribute. He called us to share in what he is doing. We talked a couple of weeks ago about what the marks of a follower look like, the thing that separates a follower from a fan. And those marks are this, that followers really take their commitment to Christ seriously. They see their faith as a journey, not a single event, but an opportunity to grow each and every day, that we wake up with this commitment to following Christ in our daily lives. Another mark of a follower is that we seek to know the heart and the mind of Christ, to know what Jesus would do, why he would do it, and then we go and do those things. That followers seek to make Christ the first priority of their lives, that they see Christ is with them all the time, and that every decision we make lines up in light of what Christ is calling us and commanding us to do. Followers emphasize relationships, loving God, and loving their neighbor as themselves. And finally, followers are spirit-filled, spirit-led, and they trust God in everything. And then last week we talked about the importance of believing Jesus and believing in Jesus and receiving his gift of salvation, but understanding that believing and receiving Christ is a necessary and vital first step in our faith journey, but it's not the only step we make. That our faith in Christ also requires our response. Jesus invites us to follow him, and in following him, we live out that faith commitment. Christ invites us to follow him to the broken and the lost. Christ invites us to follow him to the marginalized and the outcast. Christ invites us to follow him to the most vulnerable people. And Christ invites us to follow him into a life of discipleship, sitting at his feet and walking in his footsteps. And so this invitation to follow Jesus is really an invitation to a new way of living and a new way of exploring our faith, letting go of that fan behavior where we sit back and cheer when things are going well and we boo when they're not, but instead stepping into a life that is truly life, an abundant life, which is a phrase that I borrowed from John chapter 10, verse 10. We just heard that read a few minutes ago. I want to share it with you again. The thief comes in only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That full life, that abundant life, this is what Christ wants for us. But what is that? Well, I think that it can be described like this. We chase a lot of things in our life that don't really bring value to our lives. We chase lots and lots of things that don't really add much value. They may add temporary happiness, but they don't really add value. And we think that things are going to bring us joy, but we often find that these things or the pursuit of these things actually rob us of joy, like that thief that comes in the night to steal and kill and destroy. And sometimes in our lives, we'd like to think that we've got it all covered, that our relationship with Christ exists for our convenience. And that when we need Christ, when we need comfort or we need peace, we'll call on Christ to provide that for us. But the rest of the time, we're going to leave Jesus on the shelf. We can manage it ourselves. Everything's just fine on our own. But instead, we discover that it is our life in Christ that gives us life. Our life in Christ is what provides us that life which is different than the life we try to live without him. Theologian William Barclay once said this: when we try to live our own lives, life is a dull, dispirited thing. When we walk with Jesus, there comes a new vitality, a superabundance of life. It's only when we live with Christ that life becomes really worth living, and we begin to live in the real sense of the word. Jesus never said that he had come to make us happy. He said that he had come to give us life, an abundant life, a life of joy and peace, a life of purpose and fulfillment. That's not a life where we sit back and watch others do everything. It's a life in which we participate and contribute to what Christ is doing, making a real difference in our community, in our world, and even in our own lives. I don't know if you remember this, but 20 years ago, the most popular movie, or one of the most popular movies of the summer, was The Lion King. You remember the story of The Lion King with Simba, the young lion prince, and how his father was tragically killed. And when Simba's father was killed, he escaped into this new place, this paradise-type place that we don't know the name of the place, but we define it by its song, Hakuna Matata, which means no worries. And Simba escaped to this life of no worries and no responsibilities, escaped from the realities of his life and all the pressures. And it may have seemed like a peaceful life. He seemed to have it all going for him there in Hakuna Matata, but it was not his life. That was not the life he was born to live. And in the time that he was there, he forgot who he was. He forgot his father, and he forgot his true purpose. And while he was there, his uncle Scar took over the kingdom and nearly destroyed it. And instead of contributing and doing what he had been born to do, he had given up that responsibility. His life was not intended to just be chilled out and relaxed. His life was to be put to work, and he had forgotten that. And as I think about Simba, and I think about the church, and I think about who we are today in the 21st century here in America, if we don't resemble the churches that John wrote to in the book of Revelation, these churches that had become lukewarm, as the way it was described, that they had become listless in their faith and was no longer anything that had any value or importance for them. They had forgotten God. They had forgotten their first love of being passionately in love with God and serving God and all that they did. Following Jesus is a different kind of commitment. It's not an easy commitment that we make, but it is a commitment that brings us to a different kind of life. This commitment does not rob us of joy, but instead leads us into greater joy. Jesus commanded us in Matthew 28, as his earthly ministry was ending and he was passing on the responsibility to his disciples and to us. He says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And I will be with you even until the end of the age." Jesus' command to us was to go and make disciples. The operative word is go. It's often said the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Our step has to be going into that place that God calls us to go, taking that step, that leap of faith, and going where God calls us to go, each and every one of us. It's a well-known fact that in our society and in places in our community, and even in the church, we operate by this 80-20 principle. You've heard of that before. 80% of the work gets done by about 20% of the people. 80% of the resources are given by about 20% of the people. And that may be how it's done in our communities. It may be how it's done in our world, where we have lots of consumers sitting back and watching that happen. But the 80-20 principle that exists even in the church is not the kind of church or the life of faith that Jesus gave his life for. Jesus did not give his life for a church in which only a handful of people would do all the work. Jesus gave his life for a community in which we would all be standing together, shoulder to shoulder, to do the work that he called us to do in our community and in our world. And so what is our response today to Christ's invitation to him and his commission to us to go into the world and make a difference? Is our response going to be we sit and we consume, or is our response going to be that we participate and we contribute to what is to the work of God that's happening in our community? And just real briefly, I want to share with you a few possibilities for you to get your minds going of ways that you might today be ready to step into a new way of serving here in the church or in our community, and ways that you might live out your faith as a follower of Jesus. And these are listed in your worship guide, and they're on the website, and you can find other ways to serve as well. I just want to highlight a few of them for you. Teaching children Sunday school. There are still some openings for children's Sunday school teachers, and Donna Bartholomew would love to hear from you. Some of the best ways that we learn about our faith is by teaching it to others, and they make it really easy for you. They schedule you. They put packets together for you so you'll know what to teach and know how to do it. So if you want to be a part of that, we'd love to have you there. Maybe one way that God is calling you to get off the bench and get into the game is to step up in your giving. That when we're new into the church, we don't know how that works, and so we think that when the baskets come, it's just a time to sort of tip God for the entertainment that we've experienced. But that's not really the life of sacrificial giving that God calls us to. And so as we offer ourselves in gratitude and dependence of God, our offerings become a reflection of that joy and that gratefulness and that thanksgiving that we have for all that God has poured out into our lives. And our response is to give sacrificially as a way of reminding ourselves and demonstrating to God just how we place God at the first of our lives. You may be feeling like you want to go on an international mission trip, and there'll be a group leaving in 2 weeks for Guatemala with Living Water to dig a water well. That trip's full, but there will be another trip next year, this time doing the same thing. If you don't want to wait that long, there's a trip to Juarez through Proyecto Abrigo, which is a group that builds houses for people there in Juarez. It's a weekend trip. It's November 13th through the 16th. It's about as easy as an international trip can be made, and happens over a weekend. It's hard work, but it's really kind of easy to do in the time frame. If you want more information about that, Dave Neely is putting that group together, and he'd love to have you part of that group. If you want to do something here locally and serve the community here in Collin County and McKinney, we partner with 12 other churches in the area through Family Promise, which provides housing for a week at a time at individual churches for homeless people here in Collin County. We have homeless people here in Collin County, just like every place else. And we open up our building, and they'll sleep here, and they'll shower here, and then they'll go to their jobs and their schools, and we'll host them for a week. And that happens next Sunday. Our next time in the rotation is next Sunday afternoon through October the 5th. And we need about 70 people to help serve meals, cook meals, be hosts up here. Anything that you can do to help us, Dave and Erica Wink and Sharon Laird would love to hear from you to be a part of that great ministry. Maybe you want to help build a house here in McKinney. We were working on a Habitat house with some other United Methodist churches, and our next day to do that will be October the 11th. Dave Paulson puts that together, and I think our day is going to be painting on that particular day, so you don't have to have a whole lot of skill. If you just want to help be a part of making getting someone else a home to live in, that would be a great way to respond. Coming up in November, here's something interesting. The Annie Moses Band is coming to Stonebridge. We're going to be hosting the Annie Moses Band, which is, they're not a Christian band, but they provide great family entertainment. They're going to do a Christmas concert for us on the Saturday right after Thanksgiving. You'll be looking for excuses to leave the house on the Saturday right after Thanksgiving. So it'll be a great opportunity for you and your family and your friends, and to invite people to come. This is an opportunity for us to reach people in our community who aren't necessarily going to come on the front doors on Sunday morning, but might come to a concert if they know they're going to get great family entertainment. This is a way to invite them into our church in ways that are a little less scary. So I hope that you will make plans to do that. You can buy your tickets starting today. You can tell your friends about it. We'd love to have you helping out as hosts and making sure that we provide great hospitality here when we do that as well. That'll be on November 29th. We're registering right now for Upward Basketball and Upward Cheerleader, and this is another opportunity for us to open our doors to people who might not come in our building on Sunday mornings, but would come into our church through recreation ministries and through great programs like soccer and basketball and cheerleading. We need coaches. We need people who serve, who will work in the league and help us coordinate things. David Lesner will be loved to tell you more about how you can get involved with Upward. You might want to tutor at Malvern Elementary School. We partner with Malvern, which is a school on the other side of 75 on El Dorado. And we can offer sort of supplemental help to the great teachers who are doing great work there and help individuals, children, and school children grow in their knowledge. You don't have to have a whole lot of experience. You just have to love kids to do that. Over the next couple of weeks, you're going to hear about Meals on Wheels boxes for senior citizens. You're going to hear about Operation Christmas Child. You're going to hear about our Angel Tree. And I hope that you will make plans to get involved in all of these things. And then we also have a ministry called Safe Haven, which is an opportunity for us to make people aware of domestic abuse situations or awareness. And if you want to be a part of that ministry, you can. I know that Randy is looking for media volunteers to help with media as well. There's all kinds of things for you to do, all kinds of places where you can plug in, all kinds of opportunities for you to share your faith and to get involved. And there's no excuse for not. And if you really think that you have an excuse for not, here's another opportunity for you. On Thursday evenings, that just started this past Thursday, we have a new prayer ministry that's just gotten started, where Pastor Courtney and Kenan are both teaching on prayer and inviting us to learn more about prayer. So you'll be learning about prayer and you'll be practicing prayer. And I promise you, God will speak to you through your prayers if you open yourself up to God in that experience, and you will have an opportunity to grow in the ways that you follow Christ and live out that commitment in your life. Okay, so I think that's enough for now to think about in terms of what you might do and how you might respond. As I think about all those things, and I think about all those opportunities, I think about our church's 19th anniversary of worship. 19 years ago this weekend, a community of faith gathered at Dowell Middle School to begin this journey that would be known as Stonebridge United Methodist Church. And I wasn't there that day, but I've planted a church myself, and I know what that experience is like. And I know in those early days, it is all hands on deck. It is everybody serving in some way, because there is no room for people just to coast along and do nothing. There was an energy there. There was an excitement for what the possibilities of this church might be. And over 19 years, many of the things that this church dreamed it would be were accomplished. The ministries this church offers, the way this church offers itself to the community, the way this church is a leader in the community, the facilities that we offer to people, it's all come together in beautiful, beautiful ways. And as we celebrate next year our church's 20th anniversary, we're planning some really big ways of celebrating that, and I hope that you're already thinking about what we might do to celebrate our 20th anniversary. But as we lead up to that, we're really asking ourselves the question, what will Stonebridge be in the next 20 years? Are our best days behind us? Are we going to look back and say, well, the first 19 or 20 years were our best days and everything else kind of went downhill after that? Or can we say that the first 19 to 20 years of Stonebridge Church established a foundation for us on which we built and sent our church into a fantastic, beautiful future that God allowed for us as we lived out our faith? I think the only way to be able to tell that is by the commitment of the Christ followers of this community. Are you committed enough to making Stonebridge's best days ahead of us? What's your motivation as a follower of Christ and as a member of this church? Are you here primarily to consume, or are you ready to contribute? Is your faith calling you to observe, or are you prepared to participate? Is this a place for you to escape from responsibility, or is this a place to equip you for what God has created you to do? I've been asked often over the last year what my vision is for Stonebridge Church. And as I think about that, as I think about my vision, it's not so much about buildings or programs or ministries, although we will continue to respond as we need to with buildings and programs and ministries. We'll create new things in order to reach new people. We'll always be about that. But as I think about my vision for Stonebridge Church and what we could be together, it really has more to do with its people. It has more to do with you. My vision has more to do with the growth and health and spiritual maturity of our congregation. And I think about that, what that might look like. I think about what it might look like if we were all living our faith in a way that we were growing and maturing as God's people. And so my vision for Stonebridge Church is kind of simple. It can be captured like this: that we would be a covenant community of people who are connected to God, and connected to each other through prayer and through study and through fellowship and worship. That we would be a place where people are courteous, that we treat each other with love and grace, that even if the world does not, even if the society that we live in does not treat each other with courtesy and grace, the church would be a place that stands apart, a place where a different way of treating each other is the norm, where we accept each other's differences, but we treat each other with love and respect and grace and mercy. That we would be a people who are compassionate, that we seek to be the presence of Christ to anyone and everyone who has a need. And finally, that we would be a place of people who are committed, people who are totally and faithfully obedient to a fully surrendered life in Christ. That's what I want for us. That's the vision of the church that I hope propels us into the future. And I believe that's the life of faith that God is calling and equipping us to have right now. Because our greatest asset is going to be our witness in the community, the ways that we demonstrate what a life of faith really looks like. But unfortunately, that can also be our greatest liability. If we're filled with dissension and division and bitterness, then that's what people will see of us. Friends, the abundant life in Christ is not an easy life. And it's not always even a happy life. But it is a life that brings us joy and meaning and peace. It is the fullness of life that God desires for us. It is the life that brings us perfect peace. And there is a way that we can receive that. There's a way that we can attain that. We're going to talk over the next several weeks about the five keys to what that life looks like. And we're going to outline for you the five steps that Christ followers, maturing Christ followers, take in their lives in order to have that healthy, growing faith in Christ in relationship with the church. We'll talk about that starting next week. But for today, let me just challenge you with this. Maybe you've been sitting on the sidelines for a while, and maybe you have not received that kind of joy that you have in your life that Christ wants you to experience. Christ loves you so much and wants you to experience this joy and this peace in your life. And the way to start that is to stop settling for a life that isn't really life, to experience that abundant life and that peace and that joy and that fulfillment that comes only from a committed life to Jesus Christ, and to stop sitting on the bleachers and to get into the game and find places where you can live out your giftedness and live out your service to God in the community of faith that we've come into together. I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me as I close my part this morning, and share this together. These words come from John Wesley, and they're an invitation to us to commit to a new way of living and commit ourselves to God wholly and completely. I invite you to pray this prayer with me. Let's pray. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.